Well, welcome everyone to the final Q&A call for week 4, sitting meditation. And I was just talking to Rachel about how she hasn't been able to sit right now, even though it's normally her favorite practice. And that often happens. Sometimes people will have an injury or they're just not able to make time. For a while, I had a lot of clients who were nurses, and they seemed to never have time. And so one thing I would recommend, Rachel, is make standing practice your sitting practice. It's a practice that most people don't do, and that I personally, it's one of my favorite practices. And what I love about it is you can do it for like 5 minutes. You know, there's usually not a day that goes by where I'm not having to stand somewhere. But even the way that you would do sitting practice, like I'll go out on my deck in the morning and the sun is shining and I'll just stand. And I just allow my whole body to relax and close my eyes and just stand for 5 minutes. And it was a practice that I started in the monastery, but it's just really transformative. So that's my hit for you, is treat it like sitting practice, but do it standing.
Beautiful. I'll work with that. Thank you.
Another really cool thing.
Feel like this, your feet on the earth, too, and just feel the connection.
Yeah,
to the consciousness of the earth.
Yeah, you totally got what I was just about to say. Like, the other amazing thing about doing standing practice is if you do it out in nature, like you said, it's amazing to be connected to the earth. And also what I found is that, and I found this quite by accident the first few times, is that I would stand in meditation with my eyes closed. And when I opened my eyes, there were so many like animals that had come out and different little things that happened that we usually miss, because when you're standing still for so long, the forest starts to come alive or the beach starts to come alive. And so it's like getting invited into this magical world. If you open your eyes and don't move, I'll stay there.
Beautiful. I love that.
So, yeah, so don't let not being able to sit stop you from essentially just doing meditation while not doing anything else. And, of course, the other great, great meditation that I also did a lot in the monastery is lying down meditation. I usually recommend that to people that are really stressed out, because it's so common in the West for people to do sitting meditation with a lot of tension and to effort, to really like try to be calm or try to do this or try to do that. But actually you should be technically as relaxed sitting as you would be lying down. So if you can do lying down meditation without falling asleep, which is a challenge for most people, it's a wonderful practice to just lay down and say, oh, is this easy to be aware? It really highlights how much unnecessary effort one may be putting into sitting. If you see how easy it is to be lying down.
Yeah.
And even if you do fall asleep, you can meditate and watch your mind go from wake to sleep. And if you do that enough times, your consciousness will start to stay, quote, awake. You know, you'll stay aware while you're sleeping, and then you can lucid dream, and it's just an interesting phenomenon.
Wow.
So those are two the universe is putting in your lap since you can't sit right now.
I feel really fortunate then.
you gotta get out of jail free card.
Yeah, and I love that the practice of meditation just like helps us welcome exactly what's happening in every moment. And so, like, instead of resisting, oh, that I can't do the practice this week in this way, that, like, you highlighted how it's an opportunity and how it's, like, unique for my situation at this moment. Oh, that felt good.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's great. And I can feel that excitement in you to do it because you love sitting. So just play with doing it. One of those ways will really speak to you, or both of them.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you can't sit. Is the excuse to the other ones.
Yes, thanks.
Sitting is so loaded. It's just so loaded right now in our culture. So it's kind of the last thing I usually tell people to do.
For sure.
Did you have any other questions or comments or shares?
There's
a bunch more people on the line. So.
Yeah, I would say go ahead on to welcome the rest of the crew. Thank you.
Awesome. Hi, crew. We have people from all over the country tonight. So, April, I see you're on the call, and I know you asked a question on Facebook. Do you want to just talk about it now, or do you want me to read it?
How do I?
Are you muted? Hi.
Could you have me?
Yeah, we got you.
Can you hear me? Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, technology.
I am wondering if you can talk a bit. I find it challenging when trying to meditate about something or, like doing, you spoke this week about doing shadow work or sometimes talk about, like,
hold on one
second.
I'm going to fix the conference muted. There you go, April. So we were talking about shadow work.
Uh-huh. So just as an example, like, I mean, many times people talk about meditating on something, quote unquote, and I've had lots of really clear, direct experience of how to open awareness to life, essentially, how to bring that sense of awareness to life when you're, for example, if you're sitting and then you hear a bird and you hear a wind chime and then your mind can expand and expand and you can feel yourself in space and you can be very, it's very clear to me in some of those cases that it is my awareness at work there, that I'm resting in awareness and that those sensations and sounds and other stimuluses are, you know, I'm experiencing them directly, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But then if I think about sitting to work on anything or think about anything, I often find that very quickly I'm thinking. And not necessarily even, sometimes it's about the thing that I sat down to, like, work on, quote unquote, and sometimes it's like, I'm just off somewhere else. And either way, it feels to me like I'm sitting on the cushion. I started meditating. I started in a space of awareness, but very quickly I don't feel that I'm there anymore. So I was wondering if you could kind of talk about, I don't think it's just semantics that I'm hung up on. It doesn't matter to me if you call it meditation or not. I'm just wondering I'm wondering if you can clarify that for me.
Yeah, it's a great, great question. So when you're thinking about something, you're absorbed in the thoughts, right? So we all know that experience. You're not aware that you're thinking. You're not present. You're not like thinking is happening and I'm the spacious space observing the thinking. You're buying that ticket, right? You're like, oh, what's a good one? She shouldn't have done that, you know, I can't believe the nerve, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're just in it. You're thinking it, right? It feels like I'm thinking this thought. So that's what it is when you're thinking about something or you're like, oh, I'm so stressed about this project. This is going to be impossible. I can't do it. I always fail at everything, you know, whatever it is. Maybe they're happy thoughts, but whatever it is, you're completely absorbed in the thoughts. It's almost like you don't have a body. You know, and if somebody came and clapped really near you, you'd probably jump from surprise because you're not aware of your surroundings and you're not aware of the process that's happening. You're just on that train. That's actually a good image. So it's like being on the train versus standing in the field watching the train go by.
Okay.
So when you're meditating on something, you bring a topic to the meditation, and then you start to observe, staying in that wild center, staying in your place of grounded being and awareness. You can observe the thoughts without feeling like I'm thinking of them. So, okay, I bring up this project that I'm working on, and instead of feeling like, oh, it's so hard and I'm not going to be able to do it and it's going to take forever and I'll probably just fail anyway, there's a space of, oh, there's a thought that says I'm going to fail, and just noticing that. And, wow, there's a thought that's like an image of me actually really succeeding with it. You just start to meditate on that and meditate on, oh, well, that would be meditating on thinking as opposed to thinking. Does that feel clear?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit better for me.
But how can I make it a lot better? where am I losing you?
I think sometimes because of my, like, for lack of a better word, training in shamatha meditation, that I often, like, when I notice I'm thinking, or particularly, like, when there's emotional charge to it, is where it gets, like, sticky and unclear for me. So if I notice, like, oh, I'm thinking I'm going to fail at this project, if I was thinking, you know, if I'm in an aware space and I notice that thought, maybe that stage I get to. But then I think I get sucked in to, like, going down the rabbit hole of other thoughts and emotions. And then at some point I notice, like, oh, look, I'm, like, thinking about all this stuff. I'm, like, blaming this other person in my mind. Now I'm thinking about, like, the groceries. Like, does that make sense? Like,
right. So if you're believing all that stuff and you're really in it, then, like, as if it's you that's thinking it, feels like it's you that's thinking it, then you're thinking. But if you're observing, wow, there are some thoughts about the person, there are some thoughts about the groceries, there's an emotion going by, there's a way it doesn't feel like ownership. You're just observing the chaos, observing the madness. So it's sort of like being inside of a tornado and being swept around by the storm versus watching if a tornado could be inside of a container. Watching the tornado inside of the container.
Or you're in the eye of the storm, watching it going around you.
Yeah. Yeah, being in the eye of the storm and realizing, okay, you know, there's a chair and there's a house and there's, you know, my neighbor.
And
so
then
you're,
would you
when you're in that space, like there's an inherent, you'll know you're there because there's an inherent calm in it. And then just by staying with it, without trying to pull it apart and without trying to understand it, you will start spontaneously to have wisdom arise and see things. So just by watching the thoughts.
I have had that experience of things spontaneously arising many, many times. I just don't know how to, like, guide myself there as effectively as it seems like I could. So I think that's helpful. And if you notice you're there, you're like in the eye of the storm, you see the house, you see the chair, you see whatever. If you came to the meditation with the intention of examining your feelings about this project at work or whatever.
Yeah.
When you see that you're thinking about the groceries, you then just direct your mind back to your original intention.
I would bring it back. Yeah, I would bring it back. Because that's an avoidance, right? So probably if my mind is going to the groceries, it's because there's something. Already there's probably something uncomfortable about the project, or else I wouldn't be wanting to meditate on it, right?
Right.
And so if there's something uncomfortable, the mind is going to throw every carrot possible to distract me from getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Right.
Right? And then, of course, if you stay comfortable with being uncomfortable, there will be a diamond in the shit. But you have to be comfortable in the shit first. So the mind will be like, oh, what about the groceries? Or the mind will, whatever the thing is for you. I mean, there are so many distractions. It might be like despair might be a carrot, you know. I'll never figure it out. I'll always be like this. It might be like a carrot that's, I'm a bad meditator.
Mm-hmm.
A great carrot for the mind is, I don't know how to do this. I'm doing this wrong. No, you're not. Just don't go down that rabbit hole. And I'm saying that to everyone on the call, not to you. You know, the mind will say you're not doing it right, but that's actually just another distraction. You're doing it fine. You can't be bad at just being here and watching this whole mess. And it can be really fascinating. It can help to have the attitude of being a scientist. And you're like, okay, if I was a scientist or an alien, whatever flavor suits you, and I was here to observe April's reaction to this project, what would I notice about her thoughts, about the emotions that arise?
Mm-hmm.
And without analyzing them, just simply watching them is what makes it meditative, and then wisdom will spontaneously arise.
That's really helpful, actually, just seeing, like, oh, there's fear. Oh, there's, like, a clenching in my gut. Oh, no, I'm suddenly
mm-hmm.
thinking about something that seems unrelated, but maybe this is the source of those feelings, and not, like, adding commentary.
Right. And that, I love what you just said, because if it's the groceries, it's probably a distraction. But let's say you might notice what, and this is what happens when you get into that state where you're like, okay, I'm just going to let all of these feelings, all these thoughts, all these images that I want to push away, I'm going to let them go. I'm going to open the gate. And what you'll notice most likely is that there are images, if you're a visual person, sounds, if you're an auditory person, like voices from your past, that probably intimate what one of the deeper roots of it might be. You might see a scene from your childhood, or you might hear a voice telling you something that's someone who said something to you a long time ago. And so that's not a distraction, that's information.
Right.
And so, again, it's just, as long as you're just watching it, it doesn't matter. You don't have to freak out about, is that a distraction or not? As long as you're staying with it, you'll know.
That's really
again, you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Another really, really key feature that I find personally incredibly helpful is just keep relaxing your body. Because your body will get tense if you're thinking about something that is stressful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I can breathe and relax my body, like, over and over and over again, the easier it will be to just stay with whatever's coming. And really, you can also, you know, touch in to, like, okay, I can feel the chair. I can feel the chair. Like, this isn't, whatever's happening, this is all, because it feels like a tornado sometimes. But actually, you're just in your room on a chair.
Right.
Or standing in the woods, if you're Rachel. So, as long as you can keep some touch point, like your feet on the earth or your butt on the chair, that can be helpful to just allow it. And it won't stay forever. But if you contract your body, it will stay longer. So just keep relaxing, keep breathing, keep watching, and you'll have a sudden aha. And that should feel a world different than thinking about it.
Yeah, I think that's really, yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Okay. I think that's really helpful, and the pointer to connect back in with your body and breathe. I think it's where I was getting stuck is being in it, like seeing the thought arise or the images arise or something arise, and then thinking immediately, like, what does this mean about me? What what am I doing here? Why did that come up?
Yeah, no, that's a recipe for misery. Yeah, don't analyze. Just watch. Don't analyze. And it'll, what's amazing is that the more you do it and see that, oh, it just works without me having to do anything, the easier it gets.
Right.
At first, it's really hard to trust that wisdom is going to arise if I don't think about it. But that was one of the core teachings that my Burmese teacher would always say. He says, what awareness contemplates, wisdom understands. So all you have to do is bring awareness, and wisdom will naturally arise. It's spontaneous insight. That's Vipassana to me. That's what Vipassana is. Bringing just a simple awareness so that wisdom insight can spontaneously arise. You don't have to do anything except watch.
Yeah. I love
it's
that.
Like a miracle.
It calls to mind what you talk about when you say, like, get out of the driver's seat. It really is like a complete letting go of the process at all. Like, that you don't need to be in charge. You don't need to be worried about what's happening or what isn't happening. You're just present and aware.
Yeah, you're creating the space. You're creating the space.
Mm-hmm.
And the willingness and the courage to just be with what is. But then God or spirit or your unconscious, whatever you want to call it, Buddha nature, will do the cleanup work. If you create the sacred space and have the courage to just stay with it. And that takes faith. It takes faith and trust, especially at the beginning. But yeah, the analyzing will drive you mad. And just one more little tip is that if you are someone who tends to get stuck in your head a lot, it can be helpful to open your eyes and keep them trained at a spot a couple feet in front of you, like a foot in front of you on the floor. Don't move them around because they'll be distracting, but it can be helpful just to remind yourself that you're just sitting in a room or in a forest. And all of this is actually not, it feels so tumultuous, but it's actually just energy and thoughts. So it's just opening the eyes about a third and just keeping them trained on one spot, about a foot in front of you, or, you know, you can have a little object there if it helps, but I don't want to overcomplicate. But if you do find that it's just impossible and you just keep getting sucked into the thoughts, that's a great way to stay present.
That's great. Thank you so much, Zoe.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to go back in.
I'm excited to hear how it goes. April's question actually also reminded me of another clarification. So when I say meditate on something, there's definitely what we just talked about is one of the main ways. And then the other way, sometimes what I sometimes mean when I say meditate on something is really the inquiry. So sometimes we have all of this chaos, like around this project we were just talking about. And sometimes it's a real, like, let's say meditating on the nature of life or the nature of mind. The nature of mind, I would want to observe mind at work. But there's a way that, let's say I was like, should I move to a different city? And I was trying to decide if I should move to a different city or not. Meditating on that, in that case, would mean sitting down for meditation and simply creating the space where I drop in the question, should I move? And then I'm just completely silent and watching, waiting, listening for the answer that comes. So that's also more meditating on a question, I guess, than a situation. So yeah, I'm learning something too. I'm clarifying. So meditating on a question, I would just drop it in and relax and wait and listen. And listen to all of the answers. A lot of people just take the first thing they get and then run. I wait, first thing, second thing, third thing, fourth thing, So for the question, you meditate on it that way. But if it's a situation or something like that, then you want to meditate on it the way that we just described. I hope that's clear. All right, who's next? Anyone who has a question, press *5 on your phone. Let's see if there are any more in the group. Anyone have a question? If you're asking, I need you to press *5 on your phone, otherwise everyone is muted. Hey, Ken. Oh, hey, Ken. Can you hear me?
Hello,
Ken?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering about the how to get
What did you say?
I was asking about how to if the body gets stuck or if there's stuck healing. No?
I'm having trouble hearing you. You said if the body what?
If the body is stuck, and like if you're stuck with it, you're dealing with
I can't hear you. Is there a way that you could type it to me on Facebook and I could read the question?
Oh, yeah, I'll go do that. Okay.
Oh, see, and there I could hear you fine. All right.
Can you hear me
now? And then, what?
Can you hear me now?
No.
Uh-oh, okay.
A little bit. I'm hearing you a little bit, but if you can type the question to me, I think that'll be best.
All right.
In the meantime, does anyone else have a question? Press *5 on your phone. Has anyone done sitting? All right, hold on. Okay, who has a 351 number? 351?
Yeah, this is Jeff Royce.
Oh, hi, Jeff. How are you?
Things are good. Thanks so much for this whole practice. Just wanted to express it. A question. I'm thinking after meditating now for a while that there's something really interesting about allowing, let's say, the influences. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, the influences.
Yes. Okay. About the influences of the immediate environment. I'm just remembering, when we're sitting, we're hearing, we're smelling, we're seeing the insides of our eyelids if our eyes are closed. Mm-hmm. And then there's, this other part that, where we might be moving or standing or walking. And there's an influence of the immediate on us that sometimes is it creates a it's a shell of comfort and assurance that you know, even if it's like this, where I live in the city, when I hear a siren, you know, I know something is out of order in a way, but I also know something's being done about it. And so even something that's as intrusive as a siren has a, you know, it once you see, hear it as a kind of meaning and you can let it go by instead of holding on to it, there, it's still all part of this immediate environment that I'm noticing, like you were saying, and it just helps to notice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to tell a story about it or anything. I don't have to find out about it.
Right, and even labeling it siren is actually already creating a story.
Yeah, you're right.
Outside of me. Is that sound actually happening outside of me, or is it happening inside my mind?
So the environment, is that's the technicality that I'm getting back to, is that there are elements that, you know, if there is the mind, then and these other elements are there. They which I believe they are, you know, there's me and then there's that. And mm-hmm. and so there's some, like I say, there's some comfort and assurance just about noticing that, you know.
About noticing
without
objects?
Even Yeah, that I'm not, and I'm not in the sense, like I say, once you name it, it's already beginning a story. But in a sense, it's not. It's the same thing as it's a list of things that are sensory data that are informing. That's what I'm saying. Without it being about giving it a, when I say informing, it sounds like I'm trying to get, that's part of the word information. But it's really just experience.
Yeah, I would get really curious, right? This is where you can kind of go down Alice's rabbit hole. Because everything, you know, it's are we looking at things or are we seeing? Are we creating the story of what we're hearing? So as soon as I hear a siren, I notice in my mind I have a very particular image that arises, maybe of a fire truck or maybe of an ambulance or a police car, and I see it rushing down the street. And, you know, there's a whole creation and a whole story. And so that's why actually with sitting meditation, we don't go out into the environment, right, because there's so much going on. Because as you sit, and you can start to really see what the mind does with each sound, right? And if you start after a while, you sit with eyes closed, then maybe you want to practice sitting with eyes open. And you can see this is just light and shadow. I look at everything that the mind is creating. I see a book, and if I'm really able to watch my mind moments, I see every past book ever and every concept of book before my mind, in my, you know, creating this idea of book in front of me. And then the question is it in front of me? What am I? If I'm pure awareness, is that actually in front of me? Is there a front and back of awareness? Or is it inside of me? Is the world inside of me? It's not maybe inside my body, my physical body.
No.
But actually, is anything, is a siren 4 blocks away actually happening to me outside of myself? Or is that something I'm experiencing inside of myself? It might sound like I'm on an acid trip right now to you guys. I don't know. But if you start to meditate, you start to see how we create the whole world from our own mind.
Right.
And that sound is not actually, in my experience, happening outside of me. It's happening inside of my consciousness.
Okay, well, it's probably not an accident that you sound like You're on acid, because actually I told you, I think, that I had bought another copy of, a brand new copy of Ram Dass's Be Here Now, because it had had influence on me when I was so young. And anyway, so yeah, so it would be, your answer is a lot like a Ram Dass answer. Which is very good, but also my question was probably a lot like a Ram Dass question. I'm, but I'm still, anyway, it's interesting to me that, so I do what you've just said in a different way, whereas this is a reality or a movie, another way I look at it, or a dream, which is the way the ancient philosophers would have brought it around. Like, do you know that this is what's going on, or are you dreaming? And there isn't any way to tell the difference between those two things when you're dreaming.
A dream is a great analogy because it feels like there's insides and outsides and distance and time, but actually it's all happening. It's so clear. It's all happening in your own mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And movies do that too. If you're really into them, you don't even know you're in the theater anymore. You know, on the screen.
Yeah. Just like film is a beautiful also metaphor, because it looks like things are happening on the screen. It looks like the siren is, you know, the ambulance is going down the street. But actually, it's just still frames one after another, which is like us, right? We're blinking out of existence, and we're blinking back into existence. We're blinking out of existence, and we're blinking into existence very, very rapidly. And each time our mind is creating the whole world based on the past that it's experienced. So when we're able to loosen our grip on the concepts that we've created and on the beliefs that we've formed, when we blink back in, we can have an entirely different experience.
Well, that's very true. And that goes back to the important conversation that I had with my daughter that happened. Well, I can't tell you everything about the content of it, but it happened while we were, my daughter is working on
tell us about how meditation helped.
Oh, how did it help? Well, because I was, I'm in the practice of meditating while I'm doing some kinds of work. So painting, especially painting, and we're just finishing, you know, woodwork in a house, but it's just, you know, simple motions, and it's very restful, and you are paying attention. But, after a while, you're just seeing things with the mind's eye. You don't even have to look at it and say, has my brush been there? Because you've seen in your mind's eye every place you put your brush, so you know you've covered everything, which you kind of have to do when you're doing varnishing, because it's clear. You know, it doesn't leave much of a trace. So you're always painting with the mind's eye. So meditating, and that was therefore very relaxed while I'm doing that. And I think it was because of that practice, and that's a practice that I just have in other kinds of work too, where I am just trying to be mindful, because you know, when we met, I was a groundskeeper and I spent a lot of time on a mower. Right? And so that's, you don't have to really be paying attention to anything, you know, because you're just driving this really slow vehicle back and forth cutting grass. So, it's a very easy thing to meditate while that's going on. And be fully conscious of everything. So anyway, so why did that open up this conversation? Because I noticed interiorly that I have wanted to be able to talk to her about things that I eventually talked to her about that evoked responses that were very important for her.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Say
yeah,
back to
that's
me.
Wonderful.
And it was healing for both of us. And so, anyway, but it was only because of meditating that I could notice this. Said, go ahead and say this stuff. It would not be stuff that I would want to talk to her about.
Yeah.
As a parent.
I
know.
Love that. Thank you for sharing that, Jeff. Because to me, that's what meditation is about, right? Like, what good is it if you feel like a Christian every day if it's not having these impacts in your life?
Right,
Of changing the way that you're interacting with people, of being kinder to yourself, of enjoying your moments more, as so many people have shared so beautifully. It's not an achievement sport. You know? It's not like, well, I meditated 100 days in a row and now I get to pat myself on the back. And, you know, that's only good if it's having an impact in your life. If you're more here for your life, if you're happier, more peaceful, if you're able to stay with your emotions longer, if you notice the things that you really want to share with your children and you do it. You know, and to me, that's far more important than seeing the nature of reality. Seeing the nature of reality is only important insofar as it helps you to live better. Otherwise, it's just a cool experience.
It was. It was really good, though. Thank you. And it was because I did trust this wilder thing, which was that I did want to talk to her about this, which all the shoulds and shouldn'ts sort of went by. I didn't listen to any of that. Said you want to talk to her, and so I listened.
And that's a great example. Yeah, that's a great example of also meditating with thoughts without following them, because those thoughts were saying, don't do it, or she might not care, or just whatever the reason, and you didn't listen to them. You were just able to observe, oh, those are some thoughts, and they're full of crap, so I'm just not going to listen to them.
Right.
So that's the difference between thinking and observing thinking.
Yeah.
We were talking
listen
about
to the feelings. Right.
I would even say deeper, right? So because I do wild meditation. So I think that we can observe the thoughts, we can observe the feelings, we can observe the physical sensations, but then there's something deeper that's just true, that we just feel it in ourselves. I call it your wild self. Some people call it your true self, your true nature. If I followed my feelings, it would be a mess. So
yeah, no, it
makes
sense.
It's a holistic observation and then a going from the root. Yeah, so good. Good job. I love that. It's one of my favorite stories. That's what's possible. All right, I'm going to ask Jordan. So thank you so much for sharing that, Jeff.
Oh, you're
much
welcome.
Much
thank
love
you,
to you.
All right, Joe.
Jordan, I see you have a question, and then we will get back to Ken.
Hi, Zoe. It's Jordan. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good. So, you know, I just basically mostly keep doing what we talked about in week one, although I have actually sat and I have liked it. I like very much the idea of going back and forth between the two first types that you talked about, the, you know, mind calming and then insight. And it seems pretty
natural
for me to be able to do that. And I find myself also just really have been playing with the concept of breathing and calming myself more all the time, which is actually sort of a potentially big shift, and it's kind of just interesting to play with that. So, you know, I'd say I'm right in the middle of still actively working through a lot of the stuff you gave us.
Wonderful. And like I said, all of this stuff can be, you know, the lifetime practice. You just go deeper and deeper. So it's better not to rush it and to instead Just trust where you're being directed and do that. Have fun with it. Get curious. Explore.
Well, and if it's 5 or 6 times a day, 3 to 8 or 10 minutes each time because of I'm somewhere where I'm not, you know, somewhere where it's appropriate, it's like, that's fine. And then, you know.
Honestly, to me, that's ideal, again.
I have an men's team.
Way better.
I do meditate for 20 minutes once every 2 weeks at least in sitting with other people at the same time. So you can go where you can go if you go longer. But I'm happy with, you know, just actually having it, as you've been saying, impact, you know, to me to little bits in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Well, yeah. And the more you do it throughout the day, even if you just do it for 1 minute every hour, some people won't set an alarm on their phone and do it 1 minute every hour. The more consistent it will start to be throughout your day. So that's it's a great practice. And you actually touched on something that I didn't talk about in the course, but it is powerful to do meditation with other people, to do it in a group. There is a different energy when you sit down with other people, not better or worse, just different. And so I encourage everyone, if you can find a group to meditate with, or even two other people. I think it was Jesus, right, who said, where two or more are gathered, I am there. And Muhammad also said, there's never only two. There's always God is with us. So you get this, there's this concentration of energy when two or more people are together meditating that can be really powerful.
Yeah. So, you know, in my world, it seems that if I actually do sit down, something always happens nearby me. You know, as I was really going for recently, the big cat just would not let me be. And, of course, could I have had him not in the room? Had I thought about that? Yes. But, you know, it's kind of just funny how it works.
So you're a wild meditator. So what did you do with that when the cat was calling?
Oh, I had a great – actually, honestly, I burst into total laughter for about 30 seconds because I was determined not to move. I had my hands folded in my lap. I was sitting in my chair. And he was, like, up on his hind legs with two, you know, pawing at me. And it was really funny. It was great.
Yeah, you can watch the mind about it. You can watch the sensations. As long as you're staying present and aware, you're meditating with it. And sometimes it's good to close the cat out because you will go to different spaces when you don't have those distractions. So my biggest advice for everyone with meditation is play, try things, try sitting, try standing, try lying down, try with the cat, try without the cat, try, you know, every open eyes, closed eyes. Don't take anyone's word for what's better. Try meditating in a group, try meditating with yourself. And nothing is better. They're all just different. So just really play and experiment and see for yourself the differences so that you'll know what you want to do and what's possible. And stretch yourself, you know. So if you generally meditate only for 20 minutes a day, spend one day spreading those 20 minutes out into 4 or 5 minute segments. If you generally meditate throughout the day, try doing a long sit. Just see, experiment, play.
All right, it's like cross training.
I like to think of it just as playing, adventuring.
So,
yeah.
I want to thank you for the whole course. I thought it was great, and I'll just leave with one final thing. So there's a book called Mutants and Mystics. It's by a professor in Texas. And this book, Mutants and Mystics, talks about seven different ways that sort of meta themes that people in the spiritual quest have used throughout all time. And one of them, for example, is orientation or turning towards the east. Another one is alienation, which is doing the whole extraterrestrial thing. But the final and ultimate one of all of them is authorization, where you realize that you actually are scripting, to some degree, the reality you are experiencing all of the time. And, you know, that's the ultimate thing. That's, you know, seeing how we actually do that is, you know, we're back to the whole ass trip thing. But,
yeah, it gets really deep. That's the advanced course, I guess.
The advanced course, yeah. Well,
yeah.
We're all in it all the time, and we see it, you know. We paint with our emotions and our energy and our intentions, and, you know, we have a lifetime of experience of what happens when we do things in certain ways. So it's kind of just owning up to that and, you know, taking advantage of what we know.
Yeah, and just how much of reality we have created, and the stories, just both the stories and physical reality too. We think that everything is a certain way because that's what we were taught.
Right.
It's a whole other adventure.
Right.
Than being here for this life.
You know, new things are discovered, like today's discovery that the immune system, through a previously unseen channel, goes all the way to the brain through the lymph system. We didn't know that until 2 days ago. It's like they missed that, and that's going to change a lot of things, possibly. It's very
interesting. Right. Well, what's amazing is science has its own way of figuring things out, but most of the things that science figures out, meditators figured out in ancient cultures through simply meditating. So you can get that acuity. I remember there's a woman who was doing body meditations for many, many, many years. And she got so adept at the sensations in her body that she could tell, oh, the tiniest details inside her body. And she said to the doctor, she went and told them, oh, there's actually lymph in this area where the doctors never knew in Western medicine that there was lymph there. And they all thought she was crazy, and then they tested it, and there actually was lymph in that area of the body. So my personal belief is that anything that can be discovered through science can also be discovered through meditation.
It's worth trying, for sure.
Yeah, it's worth trusting ourselves and really understanding that we are so much more capable than we realize. That these human bodies and minds and hearts, we're using them at 5%. And that there's so much that's available to us if we're willing to get quiet, to get curious, and to open up and allow it to come through.
Amen.
Sweet. Me too. All right. We are almost out of time. Does anyone else have a question? Thank you, Jordan, for that.
Sure. Thank you for the course. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. Press *5 if you have a question. Let's see. So Ken asked, he has an uneasy feeling in the pit of his stomach that won't go away. And if he brings attention to it, it seems to get worse. He wants to find a distraction or go to sleep. He says, can you walk me through the steps in real time? So like I said, it will be a bit challenging since our connection isn't working. Basically, Ken, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Are you there? Okay, great. So just like with the thoughts that we started the call with, you'll want to stretch out, take some deep breaths, and really relax. Relaxation is key for allowing challenging things. And just rest with the sensations. And you might notice, usually if there's pain in the body, there's an image in the mind. So just notice that if there is, and just know that the image is not the actual sensation. So an image is usually more solid. It might show something like a ball of pain or a broken bone or a glowing hot spot in the body. But actually, there's this moment-to-moment reality that we were talking about. So really just allowing the sensations without making any story about them. And then just allowing it to unfold. And sometimes you can ask, we've done this in other calls, you know, if this sensation had a voice, what would it say? And then just be with that without analyzing it. That's the type of meditating on something where you just drop the question in And then you relax your whole body and you just wait. You wait for the answer to come. And then you just allow that. You just stay with it. You don't analyze it. You don't answer it. You're just bringing awareness to it so that wisdom can come and heal whatever wound that is. If it's emotional, if it's physical, then you just stay. There's a whole, actually, there's an hour-long bonus on pain, physical pain, in week 3. So if it's straight physical pain, I encourage you to watch that bonus video. And for emotional pain, just staying with it is usually enough. But if it just feels like, oh, it's not moving and I've done this for 3 days, Zoe, then you can do a gentle inquiry. And it'll unfold. It'll unpack itself if you just allow it, like an infant, like a child that's crying into your lap, and hold it. It just wants to be known, and it will release itself. Nothing. Everything is impermanent. Nothing is permanent. So if you resist it, or you avoid it by drinking or eating or sleeping, then it will stay. But if you really just relax and allow whatever is to be, which is just another way of saying love, if you love it, it'll blossom and release. And it'll give you whatever it needs to give you on the way out. Is that helpful?
Well, yeah. When you mentioned to hold it like a child, that releases
mm-hmm.
all of it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to move to Kriti before we're out of time. So thank you, Ken. Just love yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And really, really don't go to the mind for the answers. Let these things reveal themselves to you. Hold them with wonder. Okay, Kriti. Kriti?
Hello? Hi, Zoe.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. So I don't really have too many questions. I just wanted to, like, talk about some celebrations and just thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited
mm-hmm.
to hear
thank you so much. I was, sorry, say that again?
I said I'm excited to hear the celebrations.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I was listening to everyone. I was like, yeah, I have these questions. And I just, you know, there are some things that I, like, really got help on, and I just really wanted to thank you and tell you, like, what they were and get you all excited and just, you know, share it with you.
Yay!
Yeah.
Let us know.
So I think last time when we talked, you said this thing to me, you know, about overwhelm, that it's really just like five, you know, six senses at a time, but you can only process the amount that you can process.
Right.
That really helped me this, like, past week, and I really made some breakthrough on, like, schoolwork and stuff like that. So,
Woo!
Yeah, like, I was kind of, like, stuck for a while, and today was just like, okay, breakthrough, I got this, you know? And part of that was just, you know, trying different tools to relax and to, like, get me through, like, work meditation, you know, like, why do I wander away from, like, my desk, like, I'm here. And then there's, you know, I noticed that every time that I'm reading a sentence, there's this, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do my PhD? You know, like, stuff like that, like, just questions. So I was like doubting way more than I thought. Like every second, every sentence, I had these doubts and I didn't even know, you know?
Yeah, good scene.
Yeah, so knowing that helped, the overwhelm, like that really helped. And then the yes and no meditation, that was the bonus meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That helped too, because I, like, you know, I was able to know my own yeses and nos and, like,
perfect,
not add, like, more doubt when I just kind of knew it. And I was like, okay, Crit, this is, like, a clear no, so just stop.
Yeah, that's so important, because otherwise the mind will always go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's
yeah,
why
and
you have to look to the intuition, to that inner yes or no. Because there's always a million reasons logically why to do one thing or the other. There's
mm-hmm.
on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just not where the answer is. That's not what the mind is for.
Yeah, and just it felt like, you know, I was honoring, like, what I actually really wanted, like, instead of trying to, like, override it with all this thought or, you know, just, like, all these other perceptions that were maybe – or other thoughts or other decision voices that are not my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one more thing that I really wanted to thank you for. I've never heard something like this before, which was this the Vipassana meditation. It had also,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you talk about, like, becoming still and then
mm-hmm.
insight meditation and then asking for insight. That for me was, like, amazing. Like, the first time that I did it, I haven't done it more than that, like, more than that one time. But the question that
beautiful.
I asked me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, no, keep going. Keep going.
I'm trying to find time. So yeah, it was, like, really cool because I actually sat down and I was like, all right, I'm going to be still. And then I asked the question. And the question was actually about me feeling like, I think that my Gmail was, like, hacked or something. So there was this whole, like, thing where I'm trying to figure it out, and I was getting really restless and upset because I felt that, you know, I was, like, some kind of victim of, like, somebody invading my privacy and stuff like that. And so that was there, and, you know, when I did the meditation on it, I was like, why is this making me so restless? What is this really about? it was kind of amazing because it shifted. Like, it wasn't really just about, like, you know, oh, somebody's treating me badly and this is what I'm, like, so upset about. I realized that the upset, like, what was bothering me was my inability to know. Like it was just kind of, like, you know, my loss of control on the situation that was actually bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw that, I could just kind of let go of it. I was like, oh, I'm getting hung up on the fact that I can't possibly know this. I can't know if this is happening. I don't know what's going on. So I think it just helped me, like, realize that.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I just shifted, like, my body just kind of rested with it. Like, it's just like, okay, it's done. The situation is kind of dealt with. I know what the problem is, and I'm just getting hung up, and I want control over almost everything, and that's impossible. So I'm going to let go now.
You're reminding me of something I saw from, I think, Byron Katie earlier today. I'm not going to be able to remember it, but essentially it's just like, just let life be life. It's going to do it anyway. You know, reality
yeah.
is going to happen anyway. So you might
yeah.
as well just allow it without fighting it.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely been really exciting to kind of see the possibility of living, like, a real life. Because, like, sometimes, you know, like, there's moments where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm really here today. Now I'm here. And now I wasn't here just a little bit ago. So it's just kind of amazing
yeah.
to see that that's possible.
I love that. I know. And imagine getting to the end of your life and feeling like I missed it.
Yeah, I definitely
missed
feel
it.
That way. Mm-hmm.
We don't want that, yeah. So to really be here,
mm-hmm.
really be
yeah.
here for life. And there are so many doors in every moment that we can see when we are here that we miss when we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
thank you for practicing so sincerely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
It's exciting to hear you and to listen to all the things you're seeing.
Yay.
Yay. All right. Well, any last questions before we close? press star 5 if you have a question or a share or a celebration or a funny story. All right. Well, then in that case, everyone, thank you so much for your dedication to your practice, to life, to all the people that you love, to yourself. And as you move forward from here, the materials will be up for another month. So go get them and practice. And we'll leave the Facebook group up too. So if you have any questions, you can post in there. And we can all chat about them. And really, like I said, just play. Play with meditation. Be here for your life. Use all your senses. Listen to yourself. Trust yourself. And try, don't listen to anyone else about what's right or wrong or how you should do it or what the results are supposed to look like. You are your own authority. And you can discover yourself through being yourself in no other way. You discover yourself through being yourself in the world and joyfully playing with all the possibilities. So I love you all. Have a beautiful night, and I will see you in the Facebook group. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.